Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Joss, and I've got another nutty chat for you for the dog days of podcasting. With me today, I have Rosie. Hi, Rosie.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Yeah, fine. Thank you.
So why don't you tell everyone where you're from, the different podcasts that you're on, and what's going on with you?
I am from Lancashire in the UK. I have a podcast called Aboard the Night Bus, or Aboard the Night Bus, if I can. also Know This, which we are trying to get back on track, which is just a general geek podcast about, well, anything. So, that's pretty much me at the moment.
So what's going on with Aboard the Night Bus these days?
Well, it's been dropped.
Pod-fated for good?
Not for good.
Okay.
We are trying to get it back on track. Heath and Angela Fowler are hosts, hopefully. And we'll get it back on track.
That'll be fun. Yeah. They have so much Harry Potter knowledge.
They do. Yeah.
And Aboard the Night Bus is chapter by chapter going through Harry Potter. And how far did you guys get?
Yeah, well, we got to the Prisoner of Azkaban.
That's right.
In fact, Aboard the Night Bus. Exactly to that chapter.
Oh, no. It's almost like fate. So are you going to continue from there on, or are you going to start over with your new hosts?
No, we'll continue with that.
Oh, yeah. Fine. That'll be great. I have been on that show a couple of times, and it was always fun.
Yeah, and you were fantastic. Particularly the Halloween episode.
Oh, the Halloween episode was so much fun. There is a video that I discovered from that conversation that we had about Day of the Dead that I posted onto Tumblr, and that it has been my most viewed and the one Tumblr post that I have with the most notes, which I just find so funny because, of course, much like my blog, the most popular posts are not the normal things that are on the blog. It's something random. But that was so much fun. Now, you are kind of known as not being like, you love the books, Harry Potter, but you're not really a Harry Potter fan.
I'm not a fan of Harry Potter.
The character, rather.
Yes. he's pretty moody. I think the thing is Daniel Radcliffe doesn't excite me at all. and so, I mean, it goes with a lot of things. A lot of books that you love, and then they're made into films, and you tend to sort of have issues with characters that are portrayed, you know, when
so seeing Daniel Radcliffe play the character of Harry Potter has changed your opinion of Harry Potter the character in the books.
Well, no, I wasn't a particular fan of his in the first place, but Daniel Radcliffe definitely instilled that for me. He wasn't what I imagined. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's sort of, I guess, childish in a way that, you know, you want everything to be perfect and everything to be right with books that you read and things that you imagine. But, yeah, not right.
I think that he almost looks the part. And I thought he did a pretty good job as the character personally. I'm one of these people that I'm never a fan of the main character of anything. I mean, Buffy was not my favorite character on Buffy. Angel was not my favorite character on Angel. And so Harry Potter is not my favorite character in Harry Potter. I mean, really, it's the Hermione Granger show. So for me, that's always been the thing. But I've really enjoyed Daniel Radcliffe post Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I think I would not have been able to sit through Woman in Black if it weren't for him.
I tried to watch that.
It's a weird movie. I think it's horror done in an older style, but it's modern, you know, and the book is more modern than it seems to be. But I think his acting made me able to actually sit through it. And I love all the stuff that he does at cons and just some of the things that he says to the media and stuff, you know, how he comes out against sexism and things like that. Definitely make me fist pump for him. But yeah, it's always been the Hermione Granger show for me. So,
oh yeah, definitely. I mean, and Ron Weasley.
Yeah, Ron. Ron is definitely great. But I mean, I think I saw this post on Tumblr, and it was talking about how the whole series is actually about Hermione Granger, and if you look through, like, nothing would have happened without her and without her support. And really, Harry could have been anybody. And I think in the books they kind of say that. I mean, it could have been Harry or it could have been Neville. So it really was the supporting cast that got him through everything.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he comes across as a little bit selfish, a little bit self-absorbed. And yeah, you're right. It could have been anybody. And yeah, it just so happens it was him and not Neville.
Yeah. And I wonder, because one thing that was always off to me was Harry was a kid who was definitely abused. I mean, he was forced to sleep under the stairs. He was treated poorly. He was abused, but he never acts like an abused child. He acts as if he had a normal life, you know? And it always seemed a little off to me, the whole story of that. Whereas so many other things I can admire. I mean, I love how, as you go through the series, and I know part of it is that J.K. Rowling was improving as a writer, but the grade level for the way things are written match Harry's grade level. So yeah, as Harry grows up, the writing becomes more adult and more mature and more complex. And I think that that is fantastic. It always surprised me. I'm like, okay, this kid was abused, but he does not act like he had been abused.
He doesn't. And I think you're right. It's so perfect to an adult audience and to a child level as well, to children's level, sorry. I know that I've enjoyed it and my son has as well. And there are not many writers that can do that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of reading young adult books to begin with, but I think Harry Potter is definitely one of those series that is a big bridge between adults and children. Whereas so often, you know, if there is a book that's being read by both audiences, one of them is stretching, you know,
yeah,
one of them is making a compromise. No, Harry Potter is a great bridge, and it's really neat to see how families can enjoy them. I've got 19 nieces and nephews, and I have seen all different types of families go through the Harry Potter series and how they all tend to enjoy them. And one of my nieces she's read them cover to cover about a zillion times. You wouldn't even recognize these books. They've been read so much. Whereas another niece and nephew, they would read them chapter at a time before going to bed with their mom. And then another pair of nieces, you know, they read them as they were Harry's age, as they were coming out. So it's kind of neat to see how it becomes part of like a family's experience going through Harry Potter.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not a children's book. I would completely disregard anybody that says that.
Yeah, it's not just a children's book.
Well, no, yeah.
It's written at the right grade level for kids that are Harry's age, but it is not, you know, it's not Sea Spot Run. And it's not Babysitter's Club. So it has a lot of maturity and a lot of levels to it. I'm constantly seeing on Tumblr people coming up with like all these different theories. And so often I'm like, yeah, that was right there in the books. Didn't you get that?
And but on the other hand, it you know, J.K. Rowling is coming up with so many things right now. And I sometimes think, okay, leave it alone now. It's done, you know?
Yeah.
We can all make up our own minds up. And
well, recently, people have been tweeting her asking about the sexual history of Voldemort. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yes, she had come out and said a few things that were not in the books. But on this, I fully support her, where she said something to the effect of, even the Dark Lord has some level of afforded some level of privacy. And it was just such a greatly worded way of saying, it's none of your business. You don't get to ask that.
Yeah.
And I do like that she does, you know, all these charitable things and the slumber party things that she does for kids in need. And when you read the stories about her and the actress who played Luna Lovegood, how Luna was an inspiration to this girl, and they had been pen pals as this girl was in recovery for an eating disorder. It's kind of neat when you see stuff like that. And then on the other hand, it's like, leave Harry Potter alone. You don't need to write anymore. You were right when you said, I'm not going to write any more Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But it's hard when it's your most famous thing.
Oh, no. And you know, when it's your baby, just, you know, she has to answer all these questions. But it does start to feel like, okay, enough now. Just, you know, leave the story.
Yeah.
To people's imagination.
Yeah. Well, and she's tried to write other things. And of course, it gets leaked who wrote it. And, you know, so she can't really tell, did they like it because I wrote it, or did they like it because of my name? And, you know, it's that double-edged sword. I mean, Stephen King had the same issue. But I would like for her to write another young adult series, mm-hmm. that does not have to do with magic.
Did you read The Cuckoo's Calling?
No, I did not. Did
okay.
you?
Okay. I've read some of it, a couple of chapters. I'm on it.
And?
I think it's pretty good. I mean, I think she, you know, she obviously can write and can write intriguing sort of, I think, I don't know, thrillers obviously suit her.
Oh, yeah? That's good then. I'll have to check it out. seeing that there's rumors that they're going to make a movie.
Yeah.
Is that a yes, I'm happy, or oh no?
Well, I don't know exactly what you were saying. It's just it's just whether it's because it's her or because it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll see.
And I guess she wrote a second book in that series. There's The Silkworm.
Yes.
So those are some books I'm going to have to get on. I'm going to have to check those out. Yeah. So what's next for you? I mean, obviously you want to get your podcasts back together, but, you know, what has been feeding your soul and keeping you busy in the fandom world? Because you are a huge fangirl of many things.
I am. I think I'm a sort of purist in the way that I was very keen on Red Dwarf.
Yes.
Labyrinth.
Oh,
just
love Labyrinth.
You know, just old school. And I'm one of these people that just keeps going over and over them again. So,
which is great. That's what a geek does.
Yep, exactly.
You're also a lot of fun to talk to because you can be very critical of things that you love. And that's also a huge trait of geekdom.
Yeah.
You know, we love to tear things apart and be very judgmental of the things that we love. And it's you get to a point where you feel a certain ownership of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you've invested your time, your energy, and your heart in this.
Yeah. And we should have talked about Red Dwarf more, but we're both massive fans of that.
Oh, Smeg, we are, yes. See, that's allowed on the podcast. Smeg is
okay.
Fake swears are allowed. Yes, we actually met through the Red Dwarf podcast, which you have been on there, a bunch of times.
The Intracast, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, and that Red Dwarf will always be near and dear to my heart. That is... Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. I don't know what else to say about that.
No, but you're right. You need to be able to... I'm going to say smeg it off.
Yes, you can say smeg it off.
but you know, it's mostly great. But yeah, you know, you need to be able to analyze and
be critical of the things that you love.
Yeah,
because if you didn't care enough about it, you wouldn't delve that deep into it. You wouldn't argue which Kachansky is the better Kachansky. You'd say, oh, it was a TV show I watched, you know. You wouldn't listen to podcasts about it 10 years later as if it had just aired, you know, and still going deep into it. You wouldn't read books about it, you know. That's what makes us geeks.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining me. This has been a blast. Where can people find you?
Just on Facebook at the moment. There's Aboard the Night Bus. That group still exists. But yeah.
All right. And there will be links in the show notes. Thanks so much for joining us. Stay cool, everyone. Bye.
Are you into sci-fi and like comic books, video games, movies, and books related to it? How about science and like to keep up with space news or technology inspired by shows like Star Trek? Maybe strange subjects like aliens, ghosts, Bigfoot, or conspiracies? How about board games or RPGs? If you answered yes to any or all of those, then you may like the shows of GalacticNetcasts.com. Our lineup includes The Alien Invasion, The Sci-Fi Geeks Club, Weird World Weekly, Adventure Party, and Galactic Net Bites for people with shorter attention spans. Where can I find all these, you may be asking? Well, the answer is GalacticNetcasts.com. Again, GalacticNetcasts.com. Hi, I'm Dave Nelson, founder and host of this podcast network, and I'd like to thank you in advance for listening.
Nutty Bites is produced at Nimlas Studios. You can find us on the web at nimlasstudios.org. This work is created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported International License. What that means is you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it, you can't change it, and you have to link back to me, my site, and everything. You can comment and send feedback by going to nimlas.org/nuttybites. You can go to facebook.com/group/nuttybites. You can call the comment line by going to 347-NUTTY42, or you can find me on Twitter, you can search on Google+, you can search the web, you can find me everywhere.